Welcome to this edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Tony Lobel. And on this special edition of Sentinel Watch, we are featuring a Christian Science practitioner, teacher, and lecturer who is speaking to us from her home in Tokyo, Japan. Welcome, Fujiko Sainz.
Thank you.
Today, we're going to focus on how we think about our connections to one another, especially during a time of enforced isolation in countries around the world. So Fujiko, I know the last time we met was when I was over in Tokyo to lecture at the branch church you attend, and you so graciously translated my talk and a wonderful question and answer session that followed into Japanese. So I'm no longer a lecturer, and I know you still are lecturing around the world, sharing your ideas. And all those connections we have through that activity are so wonderful. But at the time I was with you, I also got to see the very special cherry blossom season in which Japanese people were gathering in parks to take in the beauty of that season. Now, I believe it's that season right now. And how are people responding to that today?
Well, yes, cherry blossoms is at peak right now. And a lot of people have been since last weekend coming out to admire the flowers individually. We were told by the local government that we are not supposed to hold any particular gathering in a large group. But I think in general, we cannot help to admire, whether it's from the bus or from the train or from just taking a little stroll. And I think just seeing smiles on people's faces really makes me happy, because not so much that the flower has some power, but we have not forgotten how joyful we could be even in times like this.
That's lovely, yes. You know, it's very similar in England here at the moment as well. We've been told we can take one walk a day to exercise. And there's a real joy to look out and see that the families, some people on bicycles, some people walking, some people running, but they are appreciating the beauty. We have a wonderful spring day, and we do even have cherry blossoms, which really do inspire us. And just looking out the windows and seeing a cherry blossom is just reminding us of the beauty of God, of soul, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And just the interesting thing is that without fail, these flowers return and bloom. And these flowers don't know anything about this virus or the fear that people are feeling. And I think there's kind of a lesson that we're learning, that do we need to be so influenced by what we hear in the media or hearing from other friends? Can't we also, you know, be like these flowers? Can be so busy being flowers? You know, in other words, I just want to sometimes remind myself that my job as a child of God is really to express joy. And as much as I can, even walking around thinking that as much as fear seems to be spreading, I can actually spread joy, even health, ideas that I'm holding in my thought as Christian Scientist, that we can really know that everyone, either in the train or in the park, is capable of feeling joy because they're children of God. Just being a child of God alone must make us happy.
Well, explain that a bit more, because I think a lot of people at this time are very challenged with that sense of being alone. I was talking to a couple of people who are colleagues, actually, and they were saying how they are single people. They're having to live in isolation. And although they're sort of having connections with people through the internet and social media and other things, they're still feeling that sense of it's challenging not to have the day-to-day connections with people they're used to having. Because I think you're absolutely right. As a child of God, joy is a spiritual quality we all have and can feel when we feel the presence of God through our prayer and understanding God's right with us.
I think we're so accustomed to having people around us, whether it's virtually or through internet, when we look at Facebook, you see how many friends a person may have. They're not just isolated messages. They're expecting others to surround those messages and to, you know, click the likes or the,
oh, yes,
I love
the
this
likes.
Message, you know, those
yeah.
buttons. I think mm-hmm. we have this whole expectancy of being surrounded by others. And we tend to sometimes forget that what we really want to surround ourselves by is something more substantial, to feel that love. I'm talking about God's love, divine love. And sometimes we're forced to be alone or isolated like this to really find that sense of the presence of love, especially feeling God as our father and mother caring for us. And we call it isolation or solitude, but I think that really reminds me of what Christ Jesus had said about before praying, we should go into the closet. Mm. And that closet is where we shut the doors to the outside so-called noises. One time I did a little study on the word closet, and this word is related to the word now. Mm. And so when we are entering into now, what do we really have? We have an ability to really focus on our relationship with Spirit, which is God. So to me, this closet is a very sacred space, and perhaps it might be sometimes difficult to start this kind of a practice, but maybe we all have an opportunity to be in this sacred place, willingly trying to see whether we can feel more of God's presence in this sacred space.
Oh, I love that. I don't know much about martial arts, but someone once told me there's a particular type of martial arts where instead of defeating the person you're fighting by fighting back, you let their own attack overcome them. And just what you're saying is wonderful. You know, this is obviously being presented quite understandably as a unique experience in human life. But you're saying it can actually be a unique opportunity, one that we might have wanted at other times but not been able to carve out the space for. And yet we're really talking about finding the most valuable thing that you can have in your experience, which is really love's infinite embrace and becoming conscious of that.
Yes, and some of people may be listening to this in the hospital, in their bed, or in their room alone, or maybe they're working from home and they just need to feel the sense of support. And I think sometimes when we are alone and we're not kind of busy, because I think busyness kind of fools us to see that we are actually doing something, I think when we are alone and in quietude, we can regain a sense of purpose in our own lives, a focus. And when we feel we're vulnerable, when we feel we are isolated, when we feel we're neglected, we lose this focus, because the focus becomes more about I am a victim and not so much that I have power to actually change the way I think, first of all, and even to have some influence on others by changing the way I think. And so that's what I'm really learning from Christian Science. You know, for the very first time I opened the textbook called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures that the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, wrote this textbook. And the second paragraph of preface says, "The time for thinkers has come." And that really made me wake up, because I never thought that answers to all the human problems, the limitation and fear, is first asking us to really think. You know, we think we're thinking, but she's actually asking us to think more deeply, and not just from the history we're learning or philosophy that we're learning, but she's appealing to truth, which is written with capital T, which is God. She's asking us to think with God. She says, following that first sentence, truth independent of doctrines and time-honored systems knocks at a portal of humanity. Contentment with the past and the cold conventionality of materialism are crumbling away. Every time we have these challenges as what we are experiencing right now, to me, materialism is crumbling away. Because no matter how many vaccines and the medicines that will relieve us from certain symptoms, which we are very grateful for, the people who are doing researches and physicians who are attending, nurses who are working hard, we will continue to have the same challenges, enemy or invisible enemies, like it's called right now. The name is going to change, but it's going to keep coming back until we really tackle this whole idea of, do we lean on and live in and need matter to survive? So I think this very strong statement that materialism is crumbling is just something that caught my eyes the very first time I even opened this textbook.
That's fascinating. And I think we were talking, Fujiko, before the program about the sort of different aspects of invisibility, if you want to call it mm-hmm. that. Mary Baker Eddy at one point called God the infinite unseen. And I just love that. But that's invisible to our material perspective of things, not to our spiritual sense. And what is visible to the physical senses is thought made visible. It's when thought changes from error to truth that God's goodness becomes visible in our improved lives, improved health, and generally more harmony and purpose in our experience. So the real invisible enemy that we all face is that erroneous sense of being material rather than spiritual, which the Bible calls the carnal mind. We handle this invisible enemy, this error, in consciousness by understanding that invisible good from God, that is the reality. And then spiritual reality appears on the human scene. Our lives are improved. So we can ask ourselves, am I listening to the thoughts coming to me from the carnal mind? Or am I listening to ideas coming to me from God that enable me to understand my relationship to God?
I think what this so-called invisible enemy is what Christ Jesus said, a lie, liar, and the father of it. And when you're painting, putting a color on a wall, we put a primer on. And what this invisible enemy wants to do is to first make sure that it will put a little primer on so that we will be receiving this next stage, which is having a certain name, like a disease, a despotism, or some kind of evil in the society. But that primer is, to me, is fear. And so anything that can give us fear by saying that you don't know enough or something is unknown, the uncertainty instead of certainty, insecurity instead of security, I think that's the lie about what God created here for us. Because if God is all intelligence and presence and knowledge, and we inherit this allness, then there is nothing that we don't know. And in reality, in God's creation, there is no evil or enemy out there unless we accept and let this enemy put the primer and they say, well, now you're ready to receive this so-called evil with a name.
So just to be clear, we're certainly not talking about burying our heads in the sand and ignoring what's going on and the needs, but you're talking about a different way of taking in the information and responding to it.
Right, right. And Mary Baker Eddy talks about, she says, I like this one sentence, as mortals gain more correct views of God and man, multitudinous objects of creation, which before were invisible, will become visible. And part of this invisible becoming visible has to do with something I call faith. Because faith is not some blind faith wishing something to happen, but knowing that even if we can't see it right now, the good is right there where evil seemed to be. And we have this power to reverse it. And so I think that's what she means by what invisible becomes visible, is because it's always there. Some of the scientific discoveries, as you know, like aerodynamics, it's not something that you can see, but it becomes visible by using that law to be able to make the heavy airplane take off. And so what's invisible is not forever invisible. It becomes visible the more we understand the principle of how things work. And I think it's same with understanding God as principle. We will see more harmony, see more health as part of our spiritual nature, and we will see unity and the desire to solve problems, not so much because it's a benefit to a small group of people, but it's a benefit to the whole humanity.
Well, I think you've touched on something that's really important, and that's that Christian Science is really a science in terms of a principle, divine principle, God, and laws that govern us. And I love what you're saying about, you know, the way I like to think of it sometimes is that the invisible universe of God's laws, where it is the laws of good, the laws of harmony, mm-hmm. will become increasingly visible to us and supersede the material sense of a universe where laws can be both good and bad, you know, and the same mm-hmm. law can at sometimes be very good and sometimes very bad. Mm-hmm. But that underlying universe of God and the laws of good is something we prove in healing, isn't it? When we have a situation or circumstance where it seems that these laws that are mixed, good and bad, bring us to a situation where we're sick or we're ill, or as you said, we can be suffering an injustice under human law, mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to stay that way if we really apply ourselves to understanding the divine law and really becoming conscious that that is what's governing a situation. And mm-hmm. Do you have any experiences of proving the practicality of what you're saying here?
Well, you know, I have two daughters, and when they were little, one of my daughters had ear infection every winter. And it was a chronic condition, according to the physician, was that she would have this probably till teenage years and taking antibiotics every winter. And it really had lots of side effects. And one winter, soon after I started studying Christian Science, this daughter had a very high fever, and she was screaming and holding the side of her head, and it was frightening. And it was 2 a.m. My husband and I, you know, of course, woke up and needed to decide quickly what to do. And of course, we could go to the emergency room, but we knew at the emergency room we also have to wait a long time. So my husband said I could call the Christian Science practitioner to pray for my daughter, and he gave me 20 minutes to make sure that she was healed, or else we will go to the hospital. And I called this gentleman and explained what was going on, and I could feel this love that this practitioner constantly felt for himself and for others. And in a very calm tone, he said to me that your daughter has the parent, and I need to, step aside mentally to let my daughter see her true parent, which is Father and Mother God, caring for her right now. And the only thing I remember is that much. And he said to take a moment to really ponder on how much my daughter was already cared for. So I did that. and went to see her in her room because it was quiet. And my husband was sleeping right next to her, and she was fast asleep. And I touched her forehead, and it was not hot. And it was probably about 20 minutes by this time, and she was fast asleep. And next morning, she woke up jumping out of bed and left to attend the very first day of dance camp, which lasted for 2 weeks, and had no after effects of the high fever nor of this ear infection. And the most amazing thing was that from the following winter, the season so-called of cold and ear infection, she never had the recurrence of this infection. So I just remember this as an important reminder that no matter what the body is trying to convince us, just as the practitioner had said, if I turn my eyes to God and I'm willing to see that the way God sees her, perfect, healthy, safe, and loved, was a much more sure medicine for her. And we were very, very grateful for this quick healing, and we had many examples like that with our children.
Well, that's wonderful. And I think that brings us right back to the one connection we all have, and that is our direct connection with our Father, Mother, God. And thank you for sharing that example of how within the scope of parenting, to know God is their parent, their divine parent, their source, their cause, their creator. That's a wonderful example of how practical it can be.
Yes, and not just for our children, but right now, for all the physicians and nurses and caregivers, are people also packing meals for the seniors or homebound, people making breakfast for children who may not have enough meals at home. I think we can all know that these people working hard have the same father and mother who's nurturing them, that we are first going to see men, male and female, both, all of God's creatures in the way that God sees is a spiritual idea. And I can imagine spiritual idea being affected or being influenced or contracting anything. It's almost like if you say there's a light, can you put pain on the light? Can you put a disease on light? And so, you know, when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world and you are the light of the world, if God made us in his image and likeness, we are actually the light in the way that Jesus had said. He's actually saying that we're not material. Nothing dark can attach to me because light expels the darkness. So I think maybe we can enlist as many people as possible in our circle of friends and families to really encourage each other to see our true nature as a child of God.
And I think one of the very helpful things in Christian Science is actually that matter is a mistaken sense of something that's entirely spiritual. And that when you said we're the children of light, it's that spiritual light, that spiritual nature. You referred briefly to the first chapter of Genesis where it says we're really the likeness of spirit, God. And that's what's so helpful, I think, when we're thinking about ourselves and others, that we're derived directly from divine spirit and our substance, our nature is spiritual. Mm-hmm. And this friend of mine had a very severe case of pneumonia. And although she had it diagnosed in a hospital, she decided she wanted to rely on Christian Science, which she had been using all her life, and this was several decades into her life. Mm-hmm. And without going into too much of the detail, it's just that there was one moment when, instead of getting better quickly as she'd hoped, she had a little bit of an up and down, getting a little bit better and then having a little bit of a relapse. And then she suddenly felt called to reread a set of passages in the Bible and Science and Health with key to scriptures that she'd already read earlier in the day. And as she read them, one of the things was very pronounced was that fear was the substance of what she was dealing with, and that the contradiction to that fear was that divine love, that infinite love that is God. And the way she relates it is she just had this very clear moment of the invisible becoming visible. So she went from this mental state of really being in fear to a moment of just being fully conscious of the pure and perfect love of God right there with her, embracing her, caring for her, loving her. And that filled her consciousness, not as something abstract, but as something very tangible. And all the symptoms drained away at that moment. And quite a remarkable experience, but one that's actually, from a Christian Science point of view, actually quite logical and reasonable, because it may be invisible and needing to become visible to our, you know, human perspective of things, but divine love is embracing us every moment of every day. And even if we're in an isolated situation where we don't have the human connections we're used to, we are in divine love's embrace, and we can become conscious of that and actually feel more love than we've ever known in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I also like to share that because someone was praying, I have come to Christian Science. I'm sure of that, because I was the type of person who didn't want to have anything to do with church. You know, it's amazing that I'm actually talking about Christ Jesus now. But it's almost like a completely different person. But when we pray, in general, when we are desiring the world to feel God as love, we are touching someone's heart. And that transformation, we don't know who that is going to be.
Well, just coming back to this idea of our connections at this time, any last thoughts to share with our audience about how connected they are, even in times of seeming isolation?
Well, knowing that everyone is in this together, that even if you're isolated by yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually, we are moving forward and upward together. And we can contribute, each one of us, by giving a moment every day to unite in spiritual way more than just physical ways. The social media and ways that we connect through internet is wonderful, but perhaps we can take a little moment and say, I am looking for my true connection with God and with my brothers and sisters who are just like me, made up of being spiritual idea.
Well, thank you. You said take a moment. I think many people have many moments at the moment, and I hope they use them all in that way. And just feel the love of our Father, Mother, God. And, you know, just as this call has united you and I across the thousands of miles between London and Tokyo, and yet we sound like mm-hmm. we're in the same room talking together, even more so spiritually, we are all directly connected with each other through the divine mind, God. And that's true of all our audience here who have joined us today.
Yes.
So thank you, Fujiko. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your ideas. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for inviting me. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. And just as a reminder, at this time, we do have a special focus on all sorts of issues that relate to the coronavirus that we're dealing with in society at the moment. We have spiritual aspects of financial problems, contagion problems, obviously immunization, things like that. They're all available for free to access on the JSH online homepage. And if you go to JSH online in any search engine and look for it, you'll find our homepage, and then you'll get free access to many articles and some audio pieces that can just help you think and pray about the current situation in a way which we trust you will find helpful, and also in a way which will help you to be helping others in the way we've talked about on this program today. So thank you for listening. I'm Tony Lobel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.